The Art Spot with Art Minius on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome to the Art Spot on WCHL at chapelborough.com. I am so tickled about this weekend show because we have two tremendous guests. The Hillsborough novelist Lee Smith is in the studio with me, and on the phone from Berea, Kentucky is the actress Barbara Bates Smith. And the occasion for this particular Art Spot is that Barbara Bates Smith is bringing her performance as Ivy Rowe, adapted from Lee's novel Fair and Tender Ladies, to the Arts Center for performances on Friday, April 18th at 8 p.m. and Saturday, April 19th at 3 p.m. at the Arts Center in Carrboro. And you can get more information at artcenterlive.org or 919-929-2787. So Barbara's played Ivy Rowe for like 25 years and for more than 700 performances, and one of the earliest was at the Arts Center. So we're really thrilled to reconnect that circle and bring Ivy Rowe back to the Arts Center on April 18th and 19th. So let's go back in time a bit. Fair and Tender Ladies, I believe, came out in 1988. It's an epistolary novel with Ivy Rowe as the writer of all those letters and going from small child to old mountain lady and doing it all by letters. And so the novel comes out. Barbara Bates Smith is an actress working in the Tampa area. So take it from there.
Okay. Well, I wrote the novel and it came out, and all of a sudden, I heard from this woman in Tampa who thought that she wanted to make a play out of this novel. And of course, I thought she was crazy and immediately said no. But Barbara Smith, just like the character Ivy Rowe, will not take no for an answer, I'm telling you. But, you know, this is a novel. It's totally Appalachian. It's all about where I'm from. Couldn't be farther from Florida. I just felt like we could have nothing in common as to sensibility. And plus, the whole novel, I think, is really all about writing in a way. And how could it have letters? How can letters be out loud? So I thought this woman was nuts.
Yeah. And what drove you to Fair and Tender Ladies and to this wonderful creation of Lee's Ivy Rowe?
Well, it's hard to name exactly what it was, but it was an obsession for me having read it. As an actress, I'm interested in characters, and although it was fun doing real plays, when I read this, I thought, I don't know, it was just immediate that I had to do something with it, even if it had to be on street corners. And so I had met Lee in 85, because three things happened. A woman in Wilson, North Carolina said, "You've got to meet Lee Smith. If you come here, I'll see that you do." Somebody sent me a newspaper article from Atlanta and said, "This is about a new writer you're going to want to meet." And the third thing was, I read about it in the New York Times and saw this cakewalk at the time. It sounded really interesting. So those three things came in one week in the year 85, so I was alert to Lee Smith, and I did go to Wilson, North Carolina, and I did meet her. And so what I was trying to do when I read it is find her again and just say, I have to do it. I didn't think about why. But the director in Tampa, I said, I finished my season, but I have to do this if it has to be on street corners. And he said, well, let him read it, and he loved it too, and said we would open it there. So I did write that letter to her. Maybe she thought I was crazy, but she did give her permission. And
Once Barbara showed up, and I mean, she just showed up on my deck in Chapel Hill. Here they came from Tampa, and she just had this big idea. But just there's something about Barbara that really was Ivy Rowe already. I mean, just that kind of spunk and determination and sort of mischievousness. I don't know. It's just like Ivy's going to do what she wants to, and so is Barbara Smith. And so I just said, I just still could not understand how it could be a play. And about that, I would like to say that Barbara herself adapted the novel, which is a long damn novel, into this one-woman show with two acts, and she just, it is a kind of a genius adaptation.
How did you and Mark go about making that adaptation? Because like Lee suggested, converting an epistolary novel into a stage play seems almost impossible at the surface.
Well, it probably would have been if we weren't that determined. Well, what happened was we decided that I would read the novel and mark all the places. This was before computers, by the way. We had to cut and paste, literally. But anyhow, all the parts that I thought had to be in it, and he would read it from a director's more objective viewpoint with all the things he thought had to be in it, and we would get together and see what we had. It was 6 hours worth. We spent the summer trimming it, and that was quite a struggle. We just fought it out. And I think it was good to have both viewpoints. Mine was very subjective, and his was very objective as a director. And I think that helped the cause.
I think another thing you did, as I recall, was you took the final monologue as Ivy's dying, and she's thinking of all the things that have meant the most to her in her whole life, and you went back, and everything she mentioned, that's a scene. You know, she went back from there, which I thought was kind of brilliant. And I have now done a little bit of teaching of adaptation stuff, and I think that always works.
Yes, that's
see what
true.
It comes down to, and then what's in there that leads to that, you know, adapting a work of literature.
But I want to say, in adapting it, I try not to change anything. I just link it up together with her words.
Yeah, well, you certainly hit on something that provides the essence of the story that in many ways boils it down into a two-act play. It is a brilliant approach. When did you first see Barbara do Ivy Rowley?
Well, I had seen, I had read her adaptation in different things, but I have to say, I'm not even sure. I guess when it opened in Tampa, we were down there.
That's right,
But the time I remember the most is Barbara and I both said, all right, she was going to go to New York with it. And I said, well, you know, we can't go to New York unless we go to Grundy, because that's where I'm from, Grundy, Virginia, in Buchanan County, far southwest Virginia, because that's where it takes place. It's all about different county stories and things that happened and all this. And I said, we got to do it in Grundy. And Barbara said, fine. So the Arts Council sponsored it, and we had it in the high school auditorium. And I took my dad, who had never read it, you know, or anything else. And so he got all dressed up to go. And I'm driving along, and he said, all right. He said, what's this about? Anyhow. And I said, well, it's about the life of a mountain woman, just like, you know, Aunt Kate or Ava or just so many people that we have known. And he rides along, and then he says, well, he says, has it got any sex in it? Because he was again that, you know. And I said, some. It's got some. And he said, So he went. And then what happened was he, like everyone else in that auditorium, standing room only, was captivated by Barbara Rowe, who made all of our lives so believable that at the end, people got up and rushed her on stage to tell their story of what it was like, for instance, when their daddy came out of the mine after it fell in and all this and that. And she just stood up there and talked to me. They really thought it was her. I mean, it was just an amazing tour de force. And Barbara asked everybody if she pronounced, because she had to learn the accent, if she pronounced it all right. And the only thing she'd done wrong, they told her, was that she said buried instead of buried. So she said buried ever since.
And somebody had already told me before I got there, thank goodness, that it's not Richlands.
But my daddy was just bowled over, and ever since then, he just said, he took a dim view of this play, and then at the end, at the end, he said, well, I said, do y'all need any more money for it?
Well, speaking of money, we better listen to some commercial announcements here on WCHL, okay. And we'll be right back on the Art Spot after this with Lee Smith and Barbara Smith. We are back on the Art Spot with Lee Smith and Barbara Bates Smith, talking today on WCHL and chapelborough.com about Barbara Bates Smith's adaptation of Lee's novel Fair and Tender Ladies into the stage play Ivy Roe, that's been all around the world several times over and coming back to the Art Center on Friday night, April 18th, and Saturday afternoon, April 19th. ArtCenterLive.org, 919-929-2787. We were talking a couple of minutes ago about the arrival of the play in Lee's hometown of Grundy, Virginia. And from there, it went on to an off-Broadway run that got great acclaim from all the big places like the New York Times and the Village Voice. The Village Voice said a lifetime's worth of sass, whoop, hurt, and reflection, a rare and heartfelt performance that pays tribute to the women of Appalachia and to the heroism of strugglers everywhere in the New York Times. Lee's student Silas House called it the number one best-loved event of the festival. It was magic. How did taking Ivy Roe off Broadway, how did having your life taken over by this wonderful character change your life, Barbara?
Well, in New York, it made me grateful. I felt like, as I walked to the theater every night, about a 30-minute walk, these people need to know about Ivy Roe. They need to see this show. It made me feel that I had a great gift for them. But I was prepared for, after Grundy, I was prepared for a maybe more sophisticated audience in New York. And so I thought, okay, I'll give them about 5 minutes to sit back and pass judgment and wonder what this is going to be about. But I knew that Ivy could win them over. And Ivy is a character who has that power. And if I don't mess it up or get in the way of it, it will happen. It will happen every time. And it did there, too. And they did need it. So I felt that it was a gift.
Well, I felt, and when you say a gift, I mean, I felt like the character of Ivy in her voice was completely a gift to me. It was just one of those very rare times I had done so much research and thinking and taping of all these ladies that I'd known all my life and things like that forever before I ever started. I was scared to start. And then suddenly that voice came, and it was really like a gift to me. I mean, I don't know where she came from, but it was at a time when I was going through some troubles in my own life, and man, Ivy just got spunkier and spunkier. She was, you know, she was the girlfriend I needed right then for the next year or so while we were writing that book together.
How did Ivy come to make you tell her stories in the letter form, Lee?
Well, this is funny because what I had wanted to do, Art, was to write a book that would cover a woman's whole life from the child she was right up until the very end. And, of course, the biggest problem in writing a novel anyway is how to handle the passage of time without having a novel that's 3,000 pages long. And I couldn't figure it out. I just couldn't figure it out. And then I went to a yard sale in Greensboro. And these two mean sisters, were selling all of their mother's stuff out of her house, including all the letters she had ever received, which she had tied up in little bundles in a box. And I was horrified that they were doing that. And I bought them and took them home and read them. And while they were not literary in any way, it was like in this one box, I got the sense, the very strong sense of her whole life. And I realized you could skip years from one letter to another and still pick up with the same. And I don't know why this hadn't occurred to me on my own without the yard sale. But after that, I was in business.
Indeed. And Barbara, how did you take on the challenge as an actress of covering the whole span of Ivy Rose's life?
Well, just starting with the first page and going to the end and picking out all the real, real special parts. And then, like Lee said, seeing at the end what she reflected on and highlighting those parts. And what I found that Lee was talking about, what it had been sort of a gift to her. The gift to me goes on and on, because Lee asked, sometimes she used to say, "Don't you ever get tired of doing this?" And I'll have to say, "No, never."
I cannot believe
and that,
it.
No, that is the absolute truth. And if I don't do it for a few months, I get restless, because it has, the magic it has for me is that it, and that it's in this character, it's in this book, and I think it has for people to respond to it. It grounds you because it's so earthy, but it also lifts you up because there's a spirit in there that it just has that magic power.
And well, you are just very kind. And I have to say, though, that Barbara herself and her dedication has been just an inspiration to me, and watching her take on all the other roles she's played along the way. And what she's not mentioning is that since she became Ivy, she has, and her husband have moved from Tampa, and now Barbara herself lives on top of a mountain outside of, in North Carolina, in Western North Carolina, outside of Clyde. And she is Ivy in a way. She's just really turned into her. It's amazing.
Indeed. And we'll hear more about Ivy Rowe when we come back on the Art Spot on WCHL and chapelboro.com. Welcome back to the Art Spot on WCHL and chapelboro.com. Talking today with Lee Smith and Barbara Bates Smith about Barbara's production of Ivy Rowe, adapted from Lee's novel Fair and Tender Ladies, coming to the Art Center in Carrboro Friday night, April 18th, and Saturday afternoon, April 19th, artcenterlive.org. And while Ivy Rowe is a one-person performance, it is not just Barbara, because Jeff Siebens has been along playing the music on lap dulcimer and banjo all these hundreds of performances, too.
Yes, and this one has hammered dulcimer, which is very special. He builds these instruments and plays them. The really nice development that happened for me with Ivy Rowe over all these years is when we started out, there was a soundtrack, which the director had carefully researched and had mountain music and all, but it was even on reel-to-reel, if anybody remembers that, when we started. And then what the wonderful thing happened when I moved to the mountains, as she had mentioned, that's the truth. And everybody, I took a lot of teasing from my peers that I was trying to become this mountain woman that I'd been portraying. And yes, and that was true. I think that was true. I don't try to deny it. But the wonderful other thing that happened, having moved to the mountains, is that there are live musicians around. And I was lucky enough to encounter Jeff one time. He's from Virginia, but I was playing in an outdoor theater, the Cherry Orchard Theater in Virginia, and he happened to be there. And he, another time when I was played there, he, because he has dulcimers and does that sort of thing, just sort of joined in, and it worked so beautifully that he joined in another time and another time, and now he's been touring with me for over a decade with Ivy Rowe and Lee, some of Lee's other shows, and so that's a huge part of it now.
He's a wonderful musician and a wonderful addition. I mean, the music adds so much, because, you know, it's Come All You Fair and Tender Ladies. Yeah. I mean, that's the old ballad, and the book works like a ballad in a way, with the certain refrains and themes that keep coming back. And to have a musician of this caliber is incredible.
We are mighty lucky at the Arts Center to be welcoming you back on April 18th
Absolutely.
And April 19th is
Ivy Road. I can't wait.
Thanks so much to both of you for being on the Art Spot today, Lee Smith and Barbara Bates Smith.